the trust we have built over the past 25 years is a precious commodity that must be preserved. Trust between law enforcement organizations is especially paramount, as no single agency, no single country, however powerful, can address organized crime and terrorism alone. This is why we must continue to build our long-standing efforts and progress in international police cooperation, because every operation we undertake, every partnership we forge, and every innovation we embrace is ultimately aimed at ensuring the safety and the security of our communities.
This special edition of the Europol podcast marks our 25th anniversary. After 25 years of work in making and keeping Europe safe, we can say that at the heart of every innovative organization is its people. That's why this episode of Europol's podcast hones in on key players and decision makers at the crux of this EU agency. We will draw from their experience to find out what the future might hold for law enforcement. Key to this future is how we can make sure policing always maintains its human-centric approach in the area of not only AI, artificial intelligence, but also quantum technology.
And when I look at the difference today that the president of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, says we want to double the staff of Europol, we made big steps forward and I'm very happy with it.
A lot of difficult cases, to the credit of Europol officials and all the member states that were working and our third parties. And as I reflect now on those cases, so much work, so much fantastic work that goes behind.
We have to make sure that we keep the human aspect of policing alive.
Europol is quite in a good stage now, and the further development is can be foreseen also politically, and I can only congratulate you, and I think this is the right direction.
Welcome to the Europol podcast, the official podcast of the EU Agency for Law Enforcement Cooperation. In this series, we shine a light on some of the biggest cases Europol has supported and how we continue to fight crime. Today's episode, 25 years of putting people at the center.
Europol's establishment was born out of the need for an entrusted environment where law enforcement agencies could work together and could trust one another against the growing threats in the society. This spirit of cooperation and trust has been the cornerstone of Europol's evolution from Strasbourg through The Hague. And this spirit continues to drive us today. From its early days, Europol has undergone a remarkable transformation over the last 25 years. And our history is a history of constant adaptation to the evolving nature of crime, on one hand, and to the operational needs of member states' law enforcement agencies, on the other hand. And of course, also to the broader security developments within the EU and outside the EU. This adaptability to innovate, to anticipate, has been crucial in ensuring that Europol remains at the forefront of the fight against crime in Europe.
To mark Europol's 25th anniversary, we gathered all the former directors at the agency and our current executive director, Katrin de Bolle, to hear from them about what has changed in European law enforcement since 1999. We interviewed them to find out what it was like to be at the helm of Europol between 1999 and 2024. What has stayed the same at Europol at the cornerstone of European law enforcement, and what has changed? What challenges had they faced during their directorships? You will hear what their first days on the job looked like. One of the main common responses regarding Europol's successes over the years was about the people at the core of Europol's work. Through our unique model, with law enforcement officers from all member states and beyond, under one roof, we can tackle serious and organized crime efficiently and effectively. In this special one-off episode, you will hear from Jürgen Storbeck, Europol's first director from 1999 until 2005, Max-Peter Ratzel, Europol's second director from 2005 to 2009, Sir Rob Wainwright, Europol's third director and first executive director from 2009 to 2018, and Katrin de Bolle, Europol's current and fourth executive director from 2018 till today. We will step back into Europol's past and look forward to our future, taking stock of our progress and where we stand as European Agency for Law Enforcement Cooperation today. The year is 1999, the year the Backstreet Boys released the song I Want It That Way, the year the television show The Sopranos debuts on HBO, the year the euro currency is established, the year Shakespeare in Love wins the Oscar for Best Picture, the year Europol is founded.
We started in winter, and yeah, I suppose an impression, but we became warm because we had to work. And we worked hard, but we worked every day 12 hours.
That's Jürgen Storbeck, Europol's first director, describing his first day at Europol. Here's Max-Peter Ratzel's thoughts on his first day, 5 years later in 2005.
My first day in Europol was familiar with the building. For me, it was to a certain extent coming back to a building which was known to me. I met a lot of very engaged people. It was very important to feel and to see that people share the same understanding for crime and they have a common consensus on that. And on the second hand, they have a mutual trust. And a mutual trust not only between people, but also between agencies. Mutual trust between people is good, but not good enough. You need also mutual trust between agencies.
Here's Sir Rob Wainwright's memory of his first day.
The great privilege I felt at coming to be the director, having been associated even then with the agency for a long time. I think I reflected the first time I was in that room was way back, 1998, for a meeting. I'm meeting the staff in a very excited way. I was quite a young director at the time, about 40, 41 years old. I was like a new kid in a toy shop. It was a brilliant day for me.
And here's what our executive director, Katrin de Bolle, had to tell us.
I remember my first day. I was very happy because it was a dream coming true, being able to work here with Europol, because we enjoyed the support of Europol with a lot of cases when I was still in charge in Belgium. And when I came here, the building so beautiful, so modern, all the materials so modern. But overall, the professionalism of the organization did struck me. It was a busy day, but it was a day that inspired. And a day that, as you mentioned, that already I saw we have a lot of good people, good police officers, people interested in security, working here together and trying to find their dream come true. And that is what I still feel today. The answers I get in Europol is we will try to find a solution. It's not an overwhelming issue of we have a problem and we do not find a solution. We always try to find a solution. And I think that that is in the DNA of Europol. We are a creative organization working on security on a daily basis, and we have the trust of the whole of the law enforcement community. I felt it in the beginning, and I still feel it today, and I still feel that it's growing on a daily basis. Today we are 1,700 people, and Ursula von der Leyen mentions he wants to double Europol. So we are on the right track, I think.
The challenges law enforcement faces have changed over the years, and so have the cases. We wanted to hear about the biggest cases throughout Europol's history. Here's Max-Peter Ratzel on his experience in 2005, when the biggest threats at that time were terrorist attacks taking place on EU soil.
After 9/11, everybody was alerted, and we knew exactly similar things may happen in Europe. Then the attacks in Spain had happened in March 2005, prior to my directorship. And then at 7th of July 2005, the attacks in London happened. And that was a kind of awakening for us. We will open our books after the investigations and we will let all Europol members participate to our investigative reports and investigative results. And that was a kind of cornerstone in the development of Europol, as it really happened that after, let's say, 2 or 3 months when they had a clearer picture on the environment, and then they really opened and showed us, opened their books and they showed us all the deficits in the British security architecture. So the other member states had the chance to look back home if the deficits were similar and could be, let's say, overcome. That was a really operational case without an operational success, which you could directly see.
So Rob Wainwright was in charge during a period of many new types of crime and first cases of their kind.
I remember during my period that we had the first real sort of string of successes in the area of child sexual abuse material online investigations. We were very, very good at that work, counterfeit currency, these sort of a bit more niche, very important areas. But we're beginning to earn our trust on that way. But then it was the biggest set piece operations, I suppose. I think there was one in 2013, Operation Veto, which was football match fixing. In itself, not a significant case for dismantling major crime necessarily, but of course it taught the agency something about growing up in a media world, especially. There's a huge international spotlight on us on there. We had to learn. We learned a lot from that as well. You mentioned WannaCry, the takedowns of Darknet, Alphabet, and I think it was Hansa Market 2017, if I remember rightly. Huge cyber successes, EC3 coming of age. But I suppose if I had to pick one, it's probably Fraternité and the dreadful attack that night in Paris, because we were really expected to step up at that point. And in the area of counterterrorism, that was the moment where we had to deliver a bit. And I remember the great cooperation we had with the French authorities at the time. Yeah. A lot of difficult cases, brilliant cases, to the credit of all officials and all the member states that were working and our third parties. And as I reflect now on those cases, so much work, so much fantastic work that goes behind.
Here is Executive Director De Bolle shedding light on the biggest cases of recent years and how Europol has stepped up the fight against organized crime with repercussions felt across the world.
I think the game changers were EncroChat and SkyOCC. I think that was a very important case. It did give us a lot of publicity, and there are a lot of spin-off cases in all the countries. It's also good to see where are the limits of police cooperation and where are the limits of the mandates and how does justice react to these cases. So that for me is very important. And then second, the cases we have with financial and EC3, cyber crime center related to ransom. Also there we have very good successes and we can dismantle Logbit, for instance. 30% of the ransomware provided worldwide was cleaned thanks to this Logbit case. So we are becoming very much operational and we are really recognized as part of the solution for a lot of countries. And I think that are the game changers and the fact that our people want to be excellent on a daily basis that makes the big change.
We asked the former directors for their ideas about Europol's future and what the next 25 years to come might hold.
You know, we grew up as ages. 25 years of Europol means from baby steps to growing maturity. And I'm proud to be associated with all the contributions that Jürgen, Max, Catherine did, all the hard work, Jürgen and Willie and some of the others did at the start to put it on the right roadmap with this fantastic model of the liaison officers, as I said, and everything, brilliant business model. And for those that followed those early pioneers, it was just building on that. And it was bit by bit. And I took over from Max, an agency that already developed, and I hoped I was able to pass on to Catherine something that evolved even further. And together, the four of us, being over 25 years, and more innovative ways of utilizing that business model. Really, my big thing was we become the sort of data hub, really, of of law enforcement operations, and we leverage the fact that nowhere else in Europe has the ability to garner data at a centralized point. And now with the use of development of AI tools, which I'm finding in my current job, for example, you know, the power that AI has to convert that data access, broad data access, into even more greater on-time insights into law enforcement action is huge. I would stick with that model and just continue to leverage it. And I'm not sure that we need a different version, a fundamentally different version of Europol. We need more of the same with better tooling, with even better partnerships. Partnerships that I think, having worked now in the business sector for some years, should include business partners, for example. Public-private partnership could go to the next level, perhaps.
Europol is quite in a good stage now, and the further development can be foreseen also politically. And I can only congratulate you, and I think this is the right direction.
The threat by artificial intelligence is immense, and the consequences we don't know yet. It will change the society, and it will change also law enforcement.
And when I look at the difference today, that the president of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, says we want to double the staff of Europol, we made big steps forward, and I'm very happy with it. I think it will be very important that we complement the national authorities, that we always look for the added value we can bring as Europol. But I really believe that the innovation that we provide now and the innovation lab, the work that it's doing, is essential for the future, because it will help the whole of the European Union with police work. And I think it's very important that we maintain and that we keep our creativity and look for creative solutions. So we will grow, we will remain innovative, we will have more executive powers, and we will have a lot of AI and technological tools to support. But we have to make sure that we keep the human aspect of policing alive. Europol will be growing, and we will remain committed to strengthening our partnerships, recognizing that our collective efforts are essential to maintaining security in an increasingly interconnected world. The challenges we face will be complex, but with the continued collaboration, innovation, and trust of our partners, we are confident that we can meet these challenges. Together, we will continue to build a safer and a more secure Europe for the next 25 years and beyond.
We have heard from all four directors who have been in charge of the organization throughout its history and found out about Europol's impressive track record of results from our foundation in 1999 until today. It's all about putting people at the center and keeping the European Union safe. It's also about Europol's unique approach, having officers from some of the most powerful law enforcement agencies across the world all located in the same building and cooperating on investigations together. So, with 25 years of combating serious and organized crime behind us, Europol will continue to grow and innovate to stay one step ahead of criminal networks. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Europol podcast. Please subscribe and give us a rating on whatever platform you're using to listen. And if you enjoyed the show, maybe consider sharing the podcast on your social media. If you want to hear more about our work making Europe safer, you can always check out our website. That's europol.europa.eu. And if you find cases or crime areas you want us to cover in future editions of the podcast, you can tell us using the contact section of our website. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you soon.